Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome into A to Z Sports, powered by the BetMGM app. I'm Austin Stanley. He is Zach Bingham. Make sure you follow us all over social media as we are Nashville's on-demand sports talk network, going live weekday mornings at 8 Central Time on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Links to the show segment by segment on our Twitter timeline. And make sure you follow us on Instagram and on TikTok for more Titans coverage, especially TikTok, for what our Titans reporter Sam Phelan has been putting together over the last week or so, and we'll be doing moving forward on the TikTok platform for Titans fans. But let's officially thank our sponsors, because they make this show happen for you guys and they make it work for everybody, and they help you guys out just in life in general. And that is Wilson County Hyundai. Make them a part of your new car buying process by going to see them in Lebanon or at wilsoncountyhyundai.com. The Bone and Joint Institute, boneandjointtn.org, the region's destination for comprehensive orthopedic and sports medicine care. Farm Bureau Health Plans. Get better with Farm Bureau Health Plans. That's better coverage, rates, and service. Learn more about a health plan for you, fbhp.com/ATOZ. And Houston Coleman Injury Lawyers, the official injury lawyers of the Titans. If you've been injured in a car wreck, 800-800-4600 is where you need to call. So, Zach, officially, Monday afternoon, the NFL made it an official by Tom Pelissero tweeting out that the salary cap for the NFL in the 2023 year is officially set at $224.8 million. That is up 16 plus million from last year's salary cap. And really, we are finally seeing the NFL, one of the country's biggest businesses, fully show their recovery from the COVID year when the salary cap went down significant amounts, and now they've built it back up to 224.8. Any reaction off of just that, the NFL's growth overall, before we dive into the Titans offseason strategies?
Well, it was all precautionary, right? Yeah. Everybody was precautionary when COVID hit, because we didn't know how long it was going to last. We didn't know the economic impact. Now, look, stocks went up sky high and then they crashed this past year, and that was due to a multitude of reasons. But the NFL is kind of recession proof. I mean, it just is. More people are watching every single day. It is a year-round sport. That's why A to Z Sports has hitched its wagon to the NFL. Roger Goodell, whether you love him or hate him, he is a businessman at heart, and he is in, you know, he's in the business of making a lot of money. And with streaming services, the turnover from DirecTV to YouTube, they are changing the game. And so they have so much money. I mean, you can't even think about how much money each and every individual franchise has, whether it's from the Cowboys or even the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars, that are probably lower on the totem pole just based on their market size and structure and longevity in the NFL and all of those things adding to it. So each and every year, it's going to increase. I think the precautionary move was that the NFL didn't think, oh, well, we don't have enough money. I think it was, let's stand pat for a year and maybe take a small step back so we can then take leaps forward as this thing balloons. And look at the NBA. I mean, we talk about guys riding the bench getting $17 million a year, which is mind-blowing in the NBA. Now, different rosters, less players, right? So that is impactful.
More games.
But the streaming and the money is just going through the roof. And the number of eyes that have watched these playoff games in the last several weeks, that's where all the advertising dollars are piling into.
Yeah, and so John asked, you know, how do they set the salary cap? It's based off of revenue, the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement, and what they come up with and the revenue share between the owners and the players. And so the salary cap represents what the players get from that CBA. And as Zach kind of mentioned there, the TV rights, which is now turning into TV and streaming rights, are ballooning. So just kind of for like a 3 or 4 year picture of what this is, you know, websites that we rely on like overthecap.com and spotrack.com for when it comes to salary cap type of information, those websites have been operating that this salary cap for 2023 would be at 225 million. It's at 224.8. So a lot of these projections and numbers that we've been talking about for months, it's around the same, right? So the teams also kind of had that idea, but over the cap, Zach, they are projecting in 2024 for it to be around 256. And they're projecting in 2025 for it to be around 282. And they're projecting in 2026 for that to be north of 300 million when it comes to salary cap because of the rights of broadcast and it's streaming, it's TV, it's everything. And Dom brings it up right there on YouTube that Zach, you've shown the inflation. So that's to kind of give you an overview.
We can thank somebody for that, but we won't get into politics.
But again, we understand what's happening there overall, but that is kind of the 3 to 4 year window of what it's going to look like. So with all of that said, the Titans are currently a lot of money over the salary cap. Over the cap has the Titans at negative $23.5 million in salary cap space. Negative 23.5. And there are four Titans players that have a lot of money in their cap hits coming up that are expendable and could be on the chopping block now that we understand what the full picture is. So, Zach, we're going to show this graphic and we're going to ask and really dive into each player situation and get the chat more involved. But these four Titans who you see here on the screen, Zach Cunningham, Bud Dupree, Robert Woods, and Taylor Lewan, those dollar figures in green are what the Titans would save on the salary cap if these players are cut before June 1st. So Zach Cunningham, the inside linebacker, the Titans would save 8.92. Bud Dupree, outside edge rusher, the Titans would save 9.35 million. Robert Woods, underperforming wide receiver, $12.01 million. And then Taylor Lewan, $14.84 million in savings if those guys were all cut pre-June 1st. Zach, I added up those numbers. That's north of $45 million in savings if the Titans cut all four guys, which would give the Titans $21.6 million of cap space just by cutting those guys. So from minus 23 to plus 21.6, there's a big jump there with those four.
Yeah, and those four guys are essentially – well, Lewan's maybe not, but you know, John Robinson came in there, excuse me, and made those decisions. Yeah, I got coughed up. I think Robert Woods just dropped another football. But $40 plus million is a massive swing. I mean, you talk about, and let's be honest, the Saints, when Drew Brees was quarterback, they were constantly over the cap. So it's not something that is irreprehensible.
You get penalized if you're over the cap a certain amount for a certain amount of time, then yeah, you will get penalized, and the Saints are dealing with that.
Yeah, well, it's a luxury tax, right? It's a welcome to the Yankees world, right? They cut it. So in sports, it happens quite a bit. But now you got a new sheriff in town, Rand Carthon, and how does he want to operate? You have some people, and this is a daily life thing. Some people in this world, they are comfortable with tens of thousands of credit card debt. They sleep easy at night. They just keep swiping the card. Some people, that's not how they work. They like being lean. They like being disciplined. They like doing it a different way. Now, both survive, both live, continue to live, but there's a different way of going about it. And yeah. I don't know how Rand Carthon is going to come in to the Titans house and say, look, this is how we do things. Yeah. We're going to pick better. And look, I will say, it ballooned where John Robinson was going for it. And when you go for it, and I would say less this year, more last year, but you make these decisions and they stack up. Bud Dupree and Taylor Lewan's contract, like, they stacked up. Robert Woods, I would question, what the hell was going on there. Well, but
again, remember, he was traded at Robert Woods was traded for in March of last year when AJ Brown was planned to be on this team for a long time.
But
right?
He didn't play good football.
No, for sure. For sure.
Right? But that's what I look at. And Zach Cunningham,
but again,
who,
that Robert Woods contract stacked up because of the go for it type plan with AJ Brown and Robert Woods and the rest of the offense. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying is this is a go for it salary cap structure currently for the Tennessee Titans. What is Rand Carthon going to do? Is he going to continue to go for it? I don't think that they have the luxury tax to do that. That's the problem. So you're going to have to reset. We talk about not rebuilding, but resetting. Austin, these four players all being cut is a form of resetting. It's not rebuilding because Bud Dupree and Robert Woods and Taylor Lewan and Zach Cunningham, they all underperformed based on their contract this past year. Taylor Lewan was unavailable because of an injury. Robert Woods had multiple drop passes. We all know about that. Bud Dupree was in and out of the lineup with a hip. He'd been in and out of the lineup since coming off of his ACL surgery in Pittsburgh. And Zach Cunningham hurt his elbow. He was in and out of the lineup throughout the course of the year. So that's a lot of money that is not available or was not available this past year. What are you going to do in the next several, like, month or so in making these big-time decisions?
Because I'm going to show the graphic again, and I'm going to just throw this out there so you guys can be thinking about this because we're going to ask you a question that's going to be very interesting, right? Because you look at these four guys, that's a lot of money. That's $45-plus million the Titans can save this year on the salary cap. Now, there is dead money worked into that, right? The dead money is Bud Dupree still going to count $10 million on the cap if they cut him and save nine, right? Zach Cunningham's got more dead money. Lewan has zero dead money. Robert Woods has, 2.6. So it's not that much of dead money. But these four guys are all veterans, and they're all guys who are at important positions. Maybe Zach Cunningham's the least important position, an inside linebacker, but guess who's also a free agent? David Long Jr., who's your best inside linebacker. So you're going to have to replace these four guys with the money that you save by cutting them. So let's ask this question, Zach, and get the chat more involved here this morning. Which of those four potential salary cap cuts would you keep? And these are hypothetical situations. Again, we're strategizing. We know what the cap number is, 224.8. The Titans have a lot of work to do to get under it, and they could cut these four, but you got to replace them. So which of these four potential cuts would you keep for the Titans and pick one? Don't just say
none. That is a good question.
Yes. And this is an exercise, right? Like, we're going to do a lot of exercising and hypotheticals.
None doesn't count.
Burning devil. Don't say none. Play the game, Jake.
Jake's still in the same thing. You can't say none. We're going to destroy you if you say none.
This is
none's
an exercise. This is an exercise. This is an opportunity to work through situations and talk through a roster building situation because that's what the Titans have to do. So who would you rather keep of those four? Cunningham, Dupree, Woods, or Lewan? But Zach, tell everybody about Farm Bureau Health Plans.
Don't say none. I'll just tell you that. Don't say none. I'm going to destroy you in the comments. Don't say none. It's not an option. Gun to your head. You've got to pick one of these four players. None is not an option. I'm sorry. So don't do it. What you should do is go to Farm Bureau Health Plans and look, there's no gun to your head there. They're actually going to help you. That's the best part about Farm Bureau Health Plans. They're a great option. You got four options. Pick one. Pick Farm Bureau Health Plans. I picked them last year. I'm riding with them in 2023 because love Farm Bureau Health Plans. Health, dental, vision, better coverage, better service, better rates, 200 plus locations across the state of Tennessee. They're trusted here in the state of Tennessee. Here's what you do. You can go online to fbhp.com/A to Z and you can start your health assessment there, or you can give them a call. Go to fbhp.com, look at their phone number, boom, give them a call. And they'll walk you through your health assessment, then give you a quote. The quote's free. I mean, they'll give you a quote. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, man, my health plan prior is not very good. That's what I found out. I saved 20% by switching to Farm Bureau Health Plans of Tennessee. That's fbhp.com/A to Z.
Don't forget, the BetMGM app's got deals for you all throughout the year, including NBA one-game parlay insurance, because you get up to $25 back if your NBA one-game parlay of just four legs or more falls one leg short. So take advantage of that as we dive into the NBA season. NBA one-game parlays are a lot of fun because you can work down totals, work down spreads, money lines, player props that are really easy to hit, that you can build a nice little one-game parlay for you to win and build that bankroll throughout the football offseason, and do it with NBA one-game parlay insurance. Once again, up to $25 back when you opt in your BetMGM app to the one-game parlay insurance for the NBA, where you get up to $25 back if that four-leg or more one-game parlay in the league falls just one leg short. So, Zach, we've asked the question, which of these four potential Titans salary cap cuts would you rather keep? And I'm going to show them again. I'm going to send you to the chat. Zach Cunningham, you'd save 8.9. Bud Dupree, you'd save 9.3. Robert Woods, 12.01. And LaJuan, 14.8. If all were cut pre-June 1st, right there. So, Zach, I'll send you the chat. Who are people saying that are not answering none to play our game here?
Well, and John brings this up to start. The Bud Dupree contract looks so, so bad now that we know a little bit more a couple of years in.
Zach, do you remember when he was signed? I believe that was in the in March of 2021. Yeah, two Marches ago. Remember the guy who was saying that I would not sign a pass rusher to a big contract coming off an ACL tear? Yeah, that was me. Yeah, so he's been hurt ever since. That was me, right?
Everybody's been hurt ever since, though.
No, I know, but Bud Dupree's injury.
He's not the only one, though.
And Zach, I'm going to say this. Bud Dupree has said this out of his own mouth, that his injuries have all been connected to the ACL. And so for the past two seasons, since he signed for $82.5 million, he's had more knee injuries. He's had abdominal strains. He's had hip injuries that he himself has said are all strong and connected to the ACL.
Whose fault is that, though?
I think you can. Sean Robinson's.
Yeah, I think that you can, because of all of the injuries that have occurred in the Tennessee Titans organization over the last 2 years, I think that you can connect that is a franchise problem less than a player problem.
Oh, look, nobody's
so. But if you're looking, like I remember that. I'll give you the credit for that.
Very clear.
But this is a Titans. This was a franchise issue, because the franchise should have kept him out longer to make sure that the knee was more stable, because they've done that on numerous occasions and gotten burned. This is a tight. That's the Titans' fault. They should have signed him at the time. That made sense. But it's when you bring him back.
I think you
can't not say that because of the injury history.
Yes, but again, the Titans, right? What was March of 2021 for Titans free agency? It was coming off the worst third down defense in NFL history, and also a season where they had 19 total sacks as a team in 16 games. And really five of those sacks were against Houston the last week of the season, when they clinched the AFC South. So it was really bad. They were desperate. And I'm going to reverse back almost two full years, almost basically 22 and a half months ago, where I was saying, you don't do that. You don't get that desperate. Bud Dupree is not the right guy because he tore his ACL in December.
But it's the Titans' fault.
I know that. With them drafting Caleb Farley. Zach, get with the pick. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I told the Titans back in March of 2021, don't do that. And they did it, because they were desperate. I'm not blaming Bud Dupree for accepting an $82.5 million deal. Hell yeah, go get your bag, man. Go do it. But that's ridiculous. I said it then. It was not a smart approach to go after him as your target for your edge rusher. So, of course, I'm blaming the Titans. That's why I brought it up. So now we can get back to the chat of who would you rather keep?
Keep LaJuan from Bama Brad. You can't say none of them. Zach Cunningham in case of David Long Jr., which I definitely has an impact in that situation, because David Long Jr. is a free agent. Dom's keeping Robert Woods. Cunningham from Ramon. Woods is the only right answer here from Tress. Honky Tonk is none. You can't do that. Keep Woods from Deshaun Washington. Dupree from Teddy. Zach C. from CJ. LaJuan if he restructures. So Kyle is going with that. LaJuan at a lower number. Restructure LaJuan from Chris. LaJuan right here. LaJuan only because of the position from Caleb. LaJuan if healthy. Caleb goes LaJuan. Keep LaJuan from Colby. A couple of Bud Dupree's coming in from Karen in Orlando. Bork says Bud. John says Woods. LaJuan from Jerry. Cunningham from John. LaJuan from Steven. LaJuan from Frank. LaJuan from Jonathan. The big humans are the hardest to replace. Talk about the offensive line. So there's a couple of them. Austin, who do you keep out of these four?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at performance, there is no reason to bring back Zach Cunningham. Like, that is the easiest guy to cut. And when you also look at performance, there's no reason to bring back Robert Woods. You're going to have to reset your wide receiver room in a lot of different ways. And I think you have, what did Mike Vrabel say at his end of season press conference? You got to get faster. Robert Woods is not that. So, and $12 million is so expensive. Right there. And I just don't think it's
for a subpar wide receiver.
Yeah. I think the only two options are Bud Dupree and LaJuan because of the importance of those two positions, left tackle and edge rusher. I think why my answer is LaJuan is because of the price it costs to replace a left tackle adequately. Like, not just to find a left tackle, because you saw what you get in a left tackle when you trade a fifth round pick to the Carolina Panthers in the middle of the preseason. And that's Dennis Daly. So I think the only option of the four, in my opinion, is to keep LaJuan. And the interesting thing about this is you have to kind of use the Titans situation and LaJuan situation against each other. LaJuan doesn't, he's been talking about it. He thinks he's been cut for 6 months. And so what is LaJuan's future outside of this building? I don't know. What is the Titans' left tackle future if LaJuan is not back? I don't know. And can you find some type of way to, you know, people are saying restructure LaJuan's deal.
He's in the last year of his deal.
How
are you going to do that?
I think the two have to come together and say, Taylor, you know, you've been hurt the last couple of years. You know, you played some good football at the end of 2021. You got hurt again. How can we patch this thing together to have us work one more year together to help us get to where we need to be? And you can get another year of your NFL career for the long term when it comes to being vested at a different level on all these things. I think it's going to have to be like a very, hey, both sides are desperate. Can we make this work for one more year? Because we need each other. Because we're playing the game, right?
Is he going to take, what kind of pay cut is he going to take? It doesn't make logical sense. I know what you're saying, and it is hard to replace a left tackle.
Because here's where you've
got. What are the numbers? What is he going to do? It's so much money.
How much is LaJuan going to be worth if he gets cut by the Titans? Like, who is going to go sign Taylor LaJuan and for what amount of money? So, and LaJuan has been very open about a lot of different things, right?
That's why you cut him. You're telling me why to cut him.
Well, he also said that he doesn't know if he'd want to play anywhere else besides the Titans. He said that back in February. And so, again, like, I think Juan says LaJuan is not desperate. LaJuan is not desperate in life. Sure. I think we know that, but LaJuan's, I think, football life is kind of hanging in a thread, and maybe it's an ACL thread, it's hanging there, right? It's in limbo. And so I think playing this game, that's the only option to me, because Bud Dupree, if you keep Bud Dupree, he's a $20+ million cap hit. If you cut Bud Dupree, he's still a $10 million cap hit. I just think LaJuan's the only option here.
I disagree with this. Okay. And the reason why, I think LaJuan is actually the easiest one to cut. I think he is the first one to go. It is because, Austin, what you're thinking about, the guy's knee. What about the guy's knee? You're talking about the player. He's not the same player. Why are you going to pay? You're sitting here saying that it's tough to replace a left tackle. Yeah, that's right. But what are you replacing him with? An injured guy who has been so inconsistent over the last several years due to injury and PED suspension. Why are you trying to pay that guy? It is time to move on, and you're moving off of a very, very, very large number. So out of the four, like Zach Cunningham is a backup plan to David Long Jr., so you got to figure that out, right? Robert Woods actually can play. I don't know if he can play very well, but you hope that he can have a better season than he did last year and with a better restructured offense. I don't know what that's going to look like. But Lawan is the easiest to cut because he the amount of money that it is. I don't know what they're going to do with their 11th overall pick, but that could be a place to replace Lawan and start over. That makes more sense than keeping a guy that, Austin, you have no idea what you're going to get out of Lawan. His knee is shot. I mean, we've seen that. He's not healthy. He's a head case, too. And he's admitted that. I don't want any more of Lawan. 77 has done his service for the Tennessee Titans. You thank him and you move on. But Lawan's the first to go out of these four. I think here's the hard part. I look at player and how can I get closer to their ceiling? I think that the closest person that I can get to their ceiling, be it a bad contract, is Bud Dupree. Because at least next year, you're going to have Bud Dupree, Harold Landry, maybe Jeffrey Simmons and Danico Autry, and you can finally...
Rashad Weaver
in rotation. You can finally go forward with what you wanted to last year. Is it going to cost you a lot of money? Yes, but that, I think, is the play. Bud Dupree, again, terrible contract. I do not sit here and say that it's a good contract, but I think you could get the most... Bud Dupree's ceiling is the highest out of these four guys. Would you not agree? Out of these four guys, who has the highest ceiling playing football on the football field?
Yeah, I mean,
it's Bud. I mean,
Robert Woods is the only one that can stay healthy.
But it's Bud Dupree. Robert Woods, his ceiling is lower. Woods is a number two wide receiver. Bud Dupree is
a number two edge rusher.
Is the number one edge rusher.
He's a number two edge rusher.
But, well,
he's a number two
impact edge player. Who impacts more? Bud Dupree.
So, but here's why. Like, who's the head coach, Zach?
Mike Vrabel.
Mike Vrabel can get a lot out of rotational people that are so much cheaper than Bud Dupree.
I think there's a very, very valid point of what does Mike Vrabel think
because,
of Bud Dupree.
Because I think Bud Dupree, his availability is just so up in the air that you honestly don't know. How many times, Zach, have the Titans gone into a game where Bud Dupree started and then he didn't make it to halftime? Like, Bud Dupree played in 11 of 17 games, but there's a couple of those 11 that he exited in the first quarter or the second quarter and didn't return. So now you're going into a game plan with 46 or 48 guys, and then you lose one early.
Who helped the team more last year, Bud Dupree or Robert Woods? Bud Dupree did. He did. No, they didn't help the team much, but Bud Dupree absolutely did. He made big-time plays. Before he got hurt in Indy, he made a big play.
Yeah, and Robert Woods also had a touchdown in that game, ironically. That was the best first half the Titans played all season.
That Bud Dupree impacted the Titans more than Robert Woods did last year? I'll let you answer, but
the replacements for Bud Dupree were better than the replacements for Robert Woods. If you want to be honest.
That's not the question. Bud Dupree had six sacks.
He had four sacks.
Six tackles for loss, four sacks, correct. Four is better. I mean, it was more touchdowns than Robert Woods caught.
Well, yeah. Touchdowns, yeah, he should have more sacks than touchdowns. That's just not a compliment.
Robert Woods had two for $10 million.
I'm not over here saying pro Robert Woods. I'm saying, but Robert Woods was at least reliable and on the damn field. He didn't get hurt, and he was the first year coming off an ACL. So, here's why I think Bud Dupree is the main guy to move on from. It's literally because I believe more in Mike Vrabel's ability to go get dudes like Mario Edwards Jr. To go do what Bud Dupree can do and for a lot cheaper.
How much do you believe in Taylor Lewan's ability? You cannot say that you do. You have no idea. He's coming off of so many injuries. If you're going to preach injuries for this franchise, do not die on the hill of Taylor Lewan's knee. you're going to get destroyed. Plus, on top of his knee, and I will say this, he's distracted. Taylor Lewan is fully immersed in distraction. Now, be it his second career, so it may be justified to leave the league and have something, but he is a Barstool bro, bussing with the boys,
sure,
going to the boys. That's not where he is at. So do you believe in Taylor Lewan's knee?
No, I don't. And
then don't pay it $14 million.
I'm not paying it $14 million. If you remember to what I said, that you had the only option, in my opinion, is that Lewan coming back, but not for that number. Because
what's the number then?
I think it's, you know, maybe in the 8 to 9 to 10 range, if you can save a little bit of money, but you redo it and you kind of kick a little, you can do void years. So Lewan gets money and Lewan can ride it out for one more year. The Titans have some depth at tackle that they can have Lewan come back, draft somebody. Cause how many offensive linemen you're going to have to go through a lot of different offensive linemen.
His knee's not worth $8 million. You're not going to pay $8 million for a guy that has multiple knee surgeries.
So you'd rather keep Bud Dupree for $20 million when you got a guy like DeMarcus Walker who can go out there and get 7 sacks and play in all 17 games.
I would. Again, this is a tough conversation. We know this.
Yeah,
the answer is none, right? But we can't say none.
Right, and that's where I think we're in a tough spot here. It's that I think Mike Vrabel has the ability, this defensive staff has the ability to replace Bud Dupree more than they have the ability to replace Taylor Lewan. And that's just
I don't disagree with that, but I don't want to keep Lewan because of the player. Because it's the unknown. Because Austin, you pay him $8 million and he goes out and he messes his knee up again or something else happens, you're toast. Because right, you didn't spend the
more,
pick.
All right, more comments.
Or a pick to replace.
I didn't say that. Time out. I didn't say that. So let's more comments. I'm going to react to what you just kind of said there and brought up here in a second. More comments on who would you rather keep between these four guys. $45 million is the potential savings that you can make for cutting these four players. More of your comments here in a second. But first, let me tell you guys about Hughes and Coleman Injury Lawyers, the official injury lawyers of the Tennessee Titans. If you get injured in a car wreck, go to Hughes and Coleman for a free case consultation. That's 800-800-4600. They've recovered over $1 billion for their clients in the state of Tennessee and in Kentucky by doing just that. And so if you get injured in a car wreck, have Hughes and Coleman go battle the insurance companies for you. They've got the muscle, they've got the resources and the reputation to do it all for you. Again, for a free case consultation, their phone number, 800-800-4600, Hughes and Coleman Injury Lawyers, principal office, Nashville, Tennessee.
A to Z Sports, download the BetMGM app. We are powered. Our morning show is powered by BetMGM. You have the NBA one game parlay insurance. Last night, I didn't do a parlay, but I did take the Kings in a money line game against the T-Wolves and won that basically on a last second shot. And so, hey, I'm feeling good this morning. I'm going to knock on some wood. I'm on a little hot streak betting. So BetMGM has afforded me that ability. Download the app today. Use the promo code ATOZ Sports.
All right. So again, we're playing the game. You cannot answer none. So Hassan, who comes in late, which is fine, maybe missed our rules. You cannot say cut all four. We are playing this game and having a hypothetical exercise. So Austin says, MB says, Austin, why are you saying renegotiate Lewan but not Dupree? Because Lewan's in the last year of his deal. I think it's easier to reset what that would be, add some voidable years to spread out some cap hit, because that's what they did with Austin Hooper, right? Do what they did with Austin Hooper last fall. It's a one-year deal, only counted $6 million on the cap, but you add some voidable years to it that you just continue to push and push and push as the cap continues to climb. And so Bud Dupree's just got too much money left, gets guaranteed on his big deal to do that with. So I think it's a simpler process. And yeah, more comments. Burning Devil says Titans don't need Dupree. Jonathan says Lewan's one leg is better than Daly. And Brent says, I think Lewan's replacement will be pick number 11. I don't disagree. And I think even if you keep Lewan, the number 11 pick should be a tackle if that's how the first 10 picks play out, right? You don't really know exactly, but yeah, tackle is a massive priority in the first round and should be a part of this plan. But again, this kind of gets us to our next conversation here in a second too. How good do you guys feel about MPF being right tackle?
Good early, bad late.
Yeah.
Here, some lunchbox money from Andre saying Woods is the only option as number three in lowered pay. Luan is done mentally, which I kind of agree with. Dupree is Clowney 2.9, which I kind of agree
2.9.
with.
2.9.
And
you don't really hear those versions that much.
And Cunningham is showing why Houston wanted him gone. I disagree with that last statement. Cunningham was just hurt. The Texans and Cunningham had a disagreement. There was an internal struggle there. They haven't had an internal struggle of his time with the Titans. He dislocated his elbow, I believe, right?
Twice. Yeah, well, yeah, it was pretty nasty, right? Like, that's a gross injury. Yeah, that just
Jayon Brown
makes me cringe. It makes me hold my elbow whenever I think about that. And so, yeah, I don't think Zach Cunningham is a bad dude or a bad worker. I think, you know, he's not a great linebacker. I think he played pretty well towards the end of his first year with the Titans 2 seasons ago. And then this year was not – he had a bad start to the season when he was healthy. Then he got hurt, and then he could not really get back and got hurt again. And so, yeah, I just think Zach Cunningham's easy because that position is the easiest of the four to replace – with cheap options, right? Dr. Gibby, Jack Gibbons, played some pretty damn good football as an undrafted rookie late in the season, and I'd rather roll with Jack Gibbons and Monty Rice and a re-signed David Long as your three inside linebackers than Zach Cunningham for, you know, $9-plus million.
All right, so let's set the exercise aside.
Yeah.
Do you think that they will cut all four of these guys?
Yeah, I think it's more likely than not that yes, they do. Yeah. What about you?
I agree.
I mean, 40, like they're minus $23.5 million in cap space, and cutting these four get them to $45 million.
But
I do think it's important to add that these four guys probably need to be cut pre June 1st because they need that money now.
Yeah.
They don't need the money after June 1st. They need the money now. Like Julio Jones counts $8+ million on 2023's cap because they cut him designated for June post June 1st to kick it a little bit. And they needed to wait on Julio, but they need this money now.
Okay. So I agree with that. I think that they'll make those decisions sooner rather than later. We talked about what you would do and what I would do. What do you think the Titans will do if they chose to keep one of them? Do you still think it's Luan?
So I think you can tier them, right? Because you have to be under the cap at a certain point, and that's when the league new year begins, right? So you've got, I think, 5-ish weeks maybe to do this. So if you cut all three but keep Bud Dupree, you're under, you have over $12 million of space. So what if you cut Bud last? You at least give yourself an opportunity to play your game out in free agency before having to make that decision. If you cut everybody but Woods, that number's 9.6 in space. If you cut everybody but Luan, it's 6.79 in space. And so I think that's where, I think if they play it that way, Bud Dupree might be the last domino to fall just so they can have more flexibility to see how their free agency strategy can play out.
Yeah. I think Luan will be the first to go because he has the biggest number and because of his injury. And
he's got zero dead cap. Like, there's no difference in cutting Luan now versus June 1st though.
I just think that they're going to rid him. I think it's one of those clean, I think that's what it is. I think he's expecting it. I think they're expecting it. I believe that's what's going to happen. I don't know that, but that's what my prediction is.
Sure.
For Bud Dupree, I actually would not be surprised if they keep him. I think that there could be a possibility. He is the last guy that they are going to make the decision on based on what you said. I agree with. I think that they could keep him. But a huge X factor, and we talked about it just a few minutes ago, how does Mike Vrabel feel about Bud Dupree? because if he likes him, if he likes his grittiness and he just chalks it up as he's had, a hip problem and a knee problem over the last couple of years, but he can help this football team, I definitely think that they keep him. But if Mike Vrabel thinks differently about Bud Dupree and thinks higher about his coaching skills with younger guys, that will be the X factor in decision.
I mean, but if you keep Bud Dupree, that's $20.2 million. And I agree with Trey. It makes zero financial sense when you look at what DeMarcus Walker did and Mario Edwards Jr. did. DeMarcus Walker had 7 sacks last season for the Titans on like a league minimum. Mario Edwards Jr. Had 3 sacks, 1 less than Bud Dupree, and a lot less $1 million. I just believe Vrabel can figure out that position group easier and cheaper than the offensive line. Because now we're going to get to this, because the Titans did something with Brett Kern. I wonder if they could do it with Lawan. And we'll get to that here in a second, based off an offensive line conversation. But first, Zach, tell everybody about Wilson County Hyundai.
Yeah, Wilson County Hyundai is where to go to get your next ride, whether it's the Palisade right down below or the Sonata, the Elantra, the Tucson, the Santa Fe. Your perfect make and model is right at Wilson County Hyundai. Quick trip down I-40, exit 236. If you go there, talk to Painbone and his team, family owned and operated. We love Wilson County Hyundai. We've test driven these cars, these SUVs. They're the perfect family car. Whether it's the Palisade's got third row seating, it's a full size SUV and it looks dynamic. You get a really good deal because at the beginning of the year, you can start buying the 2022s because the 2023s are rolling in and sometimes it doesn't make a difference. I remember the Sonata. Yeah, I had a 2012 Hyundai Sonata. Then following year, it was the exact same car. I think they just added a moonroof. Like, it was the same thing.
Moonroof or sunroof? Is there a difference to you?
There are such things as a moonroof, right? Moonroof, I think, is bigger than a sunroof. That's something to look up. But that was the only difference. But they were charging more because it was the new model. You can get a great deal right now at Wilson County Hyundai in January and get your perfect make and model and maybe – That make is a 2022, but you're saving cash. That's WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Also, don't forget right now with the BetMGM app, if you have not downloaded the BetMGM app, do it because it's the right time of year to do it. We all know what's happening in 2 Sundays from now. So use the promo code ATOZSports. That's ATOZSports for your first bet offer that you get up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you miss on your first bet. That's the first bet offer with the BetMGM app. That's our code ATOZSports. Again, up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't work out the way you wanted. Right there, visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 or older, Tennessee only, new customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification, eligible requirements. Rewards issued at non-withdrawable free bets or site credit for bets expiring 7 days. For problem against sport, call Tennessee Redline 800-889-9789. So, Zach, here's what I'm going to get to. So, we're talking a lot about Lawan. We're about to get to an offensive line conversation when it comes to this situation. Because, yes, the Titans could save $14.8 million by cutting Lawan. The Titans saved over $2 million by cutting Brett Kern at the end of training camp and rolling the dice with Ryan Stonehouse. But according to reports and Brett Kern, the Titans told Brett Kern at the time, hey, stay ready. Just in case something doesn't go work out with a rookie, we might want you back. Now, Ryan Stonehouse was really good. By the way, a ridiculous Pro Bowl snub as an alternate for Ryan Stonehouse after breaking Sammy Ball's 80-year-old record that he doesn't make the Pro Bowl, which is stupid, but the Pro Bowl is stupid. But so could you cut Lawan to get to where you need to be, but tell Lawan, hey, stay ready. Maybe we can work something out, because if Lawan's gone and Brewer's a free agent, and then you got Nate Davis, a free agent, Dennis Daly, hell no. NPF is right there. And then you got Ben Jones, who made the Pro Bowl yesterday as an alternate. But Ben Jones had 2 concussions, and we all know what Ben Jones has been laboring through the last couple of years as a Titan with duct tape and bubble gum holding his body together, and now 2 concussions in a season. Like, is he going to be even able to jump on a flight to Vegas with the concussions that he's been having to go to the Pro Bowl? I don't know. But Ben Jones is also an $8-plus million cap hit as an old, beat-up, injured center. So would you rather have Lawan back or Ben Jones back for 1 more year?
Now, this is like the show of none, right?
Because if you say none, then you're going, what, four new offensive linemen and the only holdover is Nicholas Petitfrere?
Now, are you rebuilding?
That is a rebuild.
Again, this is a curious show, but these are all real facts. Like, we haven't brought up anything to the table that they're not going to have to decide
on. And people
on,
are saying
know?
In the chat, like Andre and some others, that Ben Jones might retire. And like, I'm not Ben Jones' advisor. I don't know his concussion situation, but he had two in the same season. And I've watched the guy play and struggle to get off the turf a lot. If I were advising Ben Jones, I'd say, hey man, it's probably time to let this thing go and save your body for your kids down the road. And that's not for me to say or for me to do for Ben Jones, but that's kind of where I feel like I'm at with Ben Jones. It's painful to watch Ben Jones practice like in training camp. Knew it, Zach. There was a spot in training camp where Ben did one of his things where he'd up on one knee and had to like use his arms, like push himself up. And this is after like a red zone period. And he tried to go back to the huddle. I'm not going to name the coach, but the coach said, not today. Get out. And was like, we're not doing this in August. And they did it in August, and they had to do it all season. So, you know, that's just Ben Jones' situation.
I think this is ideal. And I'm with you. I'm not telling him what to do. He can make his own decisions. He's a grown-ass man. I think this is, you made your Pro Bowl. You go out. That's your Super Bowl. Your Pro Bowl is your Super Bowl. And it is. Because you ain't winning a Super Bowl with the Titans next year. I'll just tell you that. But it is, unless you get Aaron Rodgers or somebody else. But
you think Aaron Rodgers can win a Super Bowl with the Titans or with anybody else next year?
I think Aaron Rodgers gives the Titans the best opportunity. Okay. But that's a conversation for another day.
I watched that show last week. I know how you feel about it.
It's a conversation for another day.
Yeah.
I think you Jerome Bettis and Terrell Owens or Terrell Davis, Michael Strahan, John Elway. Your Pro Bowl is your Super Bowl and you retire because your health.
Ben Jones never been to a Pro Bowl. First Pro Bowl.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a great nod. Tip of the cap. And you know, you love watching Ben Jones. You want more Ben Joneses on your team.
And Daylon is correct. Now you're replacing four offensive linemen.
If you cut Lawan and Ben Jones is gone, you're replacing four offensive linemen and NPF is the holdover. So again, like, who would you rather ride with for one more year, Zach? Like, so the money, I'll go through the money because I got it pulled up in front of me. excuse me. Lawan's money we know is 14.8. Ben Jones's money, Zach, is 8.3. Like, it ain't cheap. Like, that's not a cheap center. Like, he's an older center, and he's $8.3 million cap hit who has two concussions and whatever amount of other injuries he's got going on.
But look there, and I have not looked at this, there will be offensive linemen that will be available in free agency.
But how much are they going to cost? Like, do you know what the price
of one? That's how much they're going to cost.
Whoa, Zach, the price of a right tackle on the free agent market is going to be $20
million. I'm talking about replacing a guard and a center.
Okay.
Like, you got four guys you're trying to replace. So, yeah, I'm not saying left tackle. We already talked about the ideal situation for a team to replace a left tackle is drafting a top 11 pick. That's – you don't get those a lot. You shouldn't get those a lot unless you're Jacksonville or Detroit. And Jacksonville doesn't look like they're getting back in there. Who knows what's going to happen in the future. But that's how you replace them. You go out and you get your free agent center or your free agent guard. You draft a tackle. You pray that MPF takes another step in the right direction his sophomore year. And that's what you kind of construct as your offensive line. That makes the most sense. Now, I'm not answering the question because I'm cutting both of them, or at least both of them are going away. I have like there's a moral standard to say, Ben Jones, you shouldn't come back. But I'd rather have Ben Jones than Taylor Lewan.
And if you cut Ben Jones pre-June 1st, you're only saving 3.7. If you cut him post-June 1st, you're saving $6 million.
But which is okay, because aren't we kind of to the – he's still under contract, so aren't you to the – you got three options. You're going to play, you're going to get cut, or you're going to retire.
And I think with, you know, the other four we talked about, you know, these four guys, these are all pre-June 1st moves. Like, do it. If you're going to do it now. Get your space. I think Ben Jones is a post-June 1st move. because you save $6 million and you allow yourself to have more time to see how it plays out. So,
well, and Mark says, you know, topic, if you were the GM moves, what you would make. I mean, this is kind of what we do. It's the Bud Dupree thing that Austin said that you shouldn't sign Bud Dupree. Now, 2 years later, we now know more information, right? That is more telling what happens. I mean, this is why we do the show every day, is the answers reveal themselves. I mean, that's why you play the game. Some lunch money from Andre saying, considering NPF played left tackle in college, could he move there and go after right tackle in the draft in the later rounds or free agency and make a move for a playmaker at pick 11? Andre, at least I commend for giving the idea.
Yeah, and you know, they liked NPF in the draft in the third round because of his ability to play both spots, right? But, you know, based off of what I saw in that sample size of, as a rookie, you don't want NPF to be your left tackle. He can go there in a bind, but you want NPF to be your right tackle, and you need somebody with a higher ceiling in your as your left tackle.
Yeah, you need, I mean, you're trying to find a staple. You're I mean, it's like the 49ers, now their quarterbacks got hurt due to another thing, but Trent Williams, like if you have a staple, it's Michael Ruse, it's Taylor Lewan for the first several years. You, once you have that, it makes, it's like having a quarter. I mean, we talk about it. There's four most important positions in football. What are they, Austin?
Quarterback, left tackle / blindside tackle, edge rusher, corner.
If you have those four positions, your life is easier as a general manager. The problem is, if you don't, you're scratching and clawing.
Yep, no doubt. No doubt. All right, tons of stuff to get to, but we know the cap number, so we can continue to strategize right here throughout the offseason on A to Z Sports.
Who would you do? Ben Jones?
I think I'd rather – I can't watch Ben Jones play another year.
No, it's a moral thing. I
think I'd rather roll one more year with Lewan under the circumstances that I talked about, right? Of not for $14.8 million, but you got to do something. I think if it's Lewan or Ben Jones, I don't think either of them can be back on this roster next season for what they are currently set to make. So that's that. But all right, let's go ahead and move on to Tuesday Sports Trivia. We got five questions that we're going to get to, four sports and one non-sports here on the show. But I got to tell all you guys about the Bone and Joint Institute, where whenever you get hurt in life, you got to trust the Bone and Joint Institute to get you back to health. They've done that for both Zach and I over the last several years with different doctors, different injuries, different parts of the body. Whatever goes wrong, they've got a specialist that can take care of you to get you back to health. And our guy Dave, who runs their physical therapy section, is incredible at what he does. Former NFL offensive lineman as well. If you missed that doc talk from a couple of weeks ago about the Titans injury situations, go check that out with Dave Kempfert of the Bone and Joint Institute. So whenever you get hurt in life, boneandjointtn.org is where to go.
It is eSports powered by BetMGM. Download the app today. They're the king of sports books. And you got BetMGM NBA one game parlay insurance. I got to look at the lineup tonight. I usually do that midday when I'm eating lunch. Yep. I sit down and I look at my bets. Last night, I actually also had a backdoor. Texas Tech, I'd written it off as a loss. They were down by like 20. They were hosting Iowa State. It was like plus one, minus one, minus one. It was a 1-point differential spread to open up. I wrote it off. I went to sleep. I woke up this morning. I checked my account. I won. They came back and won by three. That's BetMGM paying out. Use the promo code ATOZ Sports. Sometimes you have the surprises of, oh, they got destroyed and you lost your money. But sometimes you have mornings like this morning where they win by three in a huge comeback victory and you make your money. That's BetMGM. Let's get to sports trivia.
All right, Tuesday sports trivia here on this Tuesday to wrap up the show. Zach, how did you and Sam do last week on a Tuesday?
4-1.
4-1.
Yes.
Very good. Very good. I'll go plug that into the counter here after the show here. So let's try to go 4-1 again today. Let's get it rolling here.
All right. First up, we are going to the NBA. Which of these Boston Celtics greats in the 1980s, somebody should know this, was not originally a member of the Celtics during his career? Kevin McHale, Danny Ainge, Larry Bird, Robert Parrish. which of these Boston Celtics greats in the 1980s was not originally a member of the Celtics during his career? Kevin McHale, Danny Ainge, Larry Bird, Robert Parrish. Well, we know Larry Bird. We can get rid of him. He was drafted by Boston. Mm-hmm. We need somebody. And Robert Parrish.
Yeah, Scott and Brent immediately came in with Robert Parrish.
Who did he play for? And I can see Danny Ainge played for the Suns and coached for the Suns.
Yeah, but that was later.
Later on in his career.
Yeah. Parrish. David says Parrish was a Warrior. I mean, everybody is saying Parrish. Now, there's some other – Jarrell says Ainge also played for the Blazers, but maybe it was later. Golden State Warriors is what people are coming in saying Parrish started in Golden State. So do we go Robert – yeah, Robert Parrish, Oiler Titan says Robert Parrish was from Golden State. So let's just go with lock in Robert Parrish, final A to Z.
The Golden State Warriors have made the mistake of giving away many great players in their history. Well, not anymore. They've changed. But in 1980, it was no different because Robert Parrish is the correct answer. Played his first four seasons with the Warriors before playing 14 with the Celtics, won three NBA titles.
There we go. 1-0 start. That's how we got to do it.
All right, next up, over to the NFL. Which of these people won a Super Bowl ring as a player and also a CEO of an NFL team? John Mara, Jerry Richardson, Mark Murphy, or George Halas?
I want to say...
It's John Mara, right?
Yeah.
Which of these people won a Super Bowl ring as a player and a CEO of an NFL team? John Mara, Jerry Richardson, Mark Murphy, or George Halas?
I want to say Jerry Richardson, but the Panthers never did win a Super Bowl. It's got to be Mara, right?
Yeah, it's not Richardson. The Panthers never won.
Right, but he won one as a player. Halas? We're getting Mara and Halas. Those are the... Halas Bears, right?
Yes.
So the Bears... That would have been the 85 Super Bowl when he was a CEO. Mara was Giants, but I think Halas makes the most sense to me, Zach.
You want to lock that in?
Do you have any opinion?
I don't.
Okay. Halas, final A to Z.
Graduating from Colgate University, safety for the Washington Redskins is part of their 1983 Super Bowl winning team. Mark Murphy later became president and CEO of the Green Bay Packers. And in 2011, won a Super Bowl, Murphy's second Super Bowl ring.
Dang, that's tough. 1-1.
That's a
great question, though.
That is
save really that one for your family friend parties.
Right? Bar talk right there.
Yeah.
Which of these NFL players was a starter on defense in one Super Bowl and then a starter on offense in another Super Bowl? EJ Holub, Deion Sanders, Mike Vrabel, Julian Edelman. Which of these NFL players was a starter on defense in one Super Bowl and a starter on offense in the other Super Bowl? EJ Holub, Deion Sanders, Mike Vrabel, Julian Edelman.
I don't think Edelman started on defense. I was thinking, honestly, when you brought that up, I was going to think Deion Branch.
Troy Brown?
Yeah, Troy Brown. But I think it's Deion.
My gut was Deion. Mike Vrabel is a good nuance.
Yeah, but I don't think he didn't start. Vrabel played red zone offense. He didn't come out there on the 25-yard line first and 10.
So I think it's got to be Deion.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's Deion because the Cowboys could have started out and tried to get spicy on snap number one on offense, right?
No, I don't know who EJ Holub is. But I think that would have been 1995 or 1994 for Deion.
Scott says Deion started against the Steelers in the Super Bowl. So let's go Deion, final A to Z. Missed it.
EJ Holub.
Yeah, of course.
All-American center twice playing in, for Texas Tech. Thank you, Red Raiders, last night. He would also play linebacker for that team as a sixth draft pick in the 1961 AFL draft. Ooh, Kansas City Chiefs. Ugh.
That's
EJ Holub, linebacker and offensive line.
So 1 and 2. Yuck. You'd beat by something that happened in the 60s. You know, what are you going to do?
What do Tim Tebow, Colin Kaepernick, Johnny Manziel, and Cam Newton all have in common? All were first-round draft picks in the NFL?
No.
Had more yards rushing than passing in their freshman and sophomore years of college?
No.
Had quarterback ratings less than average in their first NFL year? Maybe.
Maybe.
Had at least 20 touchdowns in both rushing and passing in one college season? This is a damn good
question. That's the most like, I think it's the last one.
Well, it's not first round picks. And I don't think that it is.
It's not the more rushing yards
than passing.
Because Johnny Manziel was a redshirt freshman when he busted out on the scenes, and he had plenty of passing yards. And Cam Newton,
that was redshirt freshman. Well, yeah.
But that was back before you could like play.
Yeah.
And Cam Newton was a freshman at Florida, so he could be it. But and Tebow could have been more rushing.
Oh yeah, well Tebow was because of Chris Leak.
Yeah. So I think it's the last one. Brent all had, you know, it says all had 20 plus rushing, passing and rushing touchdown in one season. Kaepernick is the one that I don't know because that dude was a freak at Nevada, but I don't remember if it was. What was the third answer?
Quarterback rating was less than average in their first NFL year.
Yeah, that's, and that could be it.
I think it's between the last two. Quarterback rating less than average.
I don't think Kaepernick ran for 20 touchdowns in college. I just don't think that happened. I don't think he ran enough.
So you're doing quarterback rating?
Yeah.
But I know Tebow, Johnny Manziel, and Cam Newton did.
Have bad or did
rush had at least 20 touchdowns in both rushing and passing. I know that for a fact.
Chris says Cam won Rookie of the Year, though. But you can win Rookie of the Year and still have a less than average quarterback rating.
Ooh, yeah, but I think that nixes it. I think it's 20 touchdowns.
All right, if you want to go with that one, then that's I'm cool either way. So if you want to lock in the...
Yeah, I'll do final A to Z.
That makes
the most sense.
20 rushing touchdowns.
All four quarterbacks achieved the feat of 20 or more touchdowns in both rushing and receiving one season. They did it in the very same season.
Wow. 2010?
Tebow, 2007. Tebow, 32-23. Kaepernick, 21-20. So you were close. Manziel, 26-21. And Newton, 30-20. Wow.
Wait, what? That wasn't all... Manziel in 2007? No. And no, there's no way. Cam was in 2010. There's no way that's the right year.
Oh, yeah. And amazingly, they all did it in the very same season.
But it had to be 2010, though.
It says 2007. It's a freshman year. Had to have been freshman year.
That's not right. That's not right. Johnny Manziel was in high school in 2007.
And amazingly, they all did it in the very same season.
That's not right. Whatever. We got it right. So, anyway, we don't know what year it happened. Yeah, that's not correct.
Well, now we got to fact check this.
Because Kim's 2010 Auburn year. And Menzel won the Heisman in 2012. Yeah.
You look up, I'm going to look up Tebow and Kim. We have to fact check this. I'm going to look up Tebow and Kaepernick. You look up Menzel and Newton. We need to fact check this. Because, again, I'm just going based on this trivia website. 2007. 32. So that was correct for Tim Tebow.
Yeah, that makes sense. Kaepernick did it
in 2007. No.
No.
In 2008.
Rushing, Kaepernick did it in 2010. Check Tebow's 2010 year.
Tebow didn't play 2010. That's when he got drafted. So that's wrong, but
we got it right though.
The answer is correct.
Yeah. All right. So we're 2-2. Last question.
I don't like that. All right. Easy question. What's the largest number of children born to one woman? 69, 19, 49, or 29? Yeah. Pretty simple. Pretty standard. What's the largest number of children born to one woman? 69, 19, 49, or 29? I mean, the answers are so astronomically high that I'm in a brain war.
I think it's got to be over 19. I think 19 is too low. I mean, Philip Rivers and his wife have how many? I mean, they can't be that close to the record.
No, yeah, I'm discrediting 19. So,
29 sounds right. Because 29, how many childbirthing years does the average woman have?
Well, let's say as young as, it's going to sound
it's
weird.
It's gross, but yeah. Like
14, right?
14 to 45. So let's
say there are
30
people
years.
That have had 50. There are women that have had children at 50.
So let's just say 30-ish plus years. And then there's twins, there's triplets, there's quadruplets.
Yeah, I think it's higher. I think it could be 49 or 69.
You want to go 49?
That's fine. I have no clue.
All right, 49, final A to Z. John says 49s and her name was Mrs. Wayans. Just because there's a million Wayans out there. Is it 29?
No.
69?
1725 to 1765. A Russian peasant woman, the wife of a Russian name that I can't pronounce, gave birth to 16 sets of twins, 7 sets of triplets, and 4 sets of quadruplets, a total of 69 children.
That's insane. But have in the 1700s. Okay. In Russia. Sounds great. Ridiculous. So,
I mean,
we went 2-3.
You couldn't even name all of them. Like, you have 69 kids?
I mean, we've got like 30.
2-3 is the worst that we've done. Names.
Yeah, that is bad. All right, well, that sucks. But yeah, hey, we just got to bounce back next week.
All right.
That's just nuts. Anyway, thanks for watching, guys. Crazy show, talking about a lot of different things, but make sure you like the show before you go. Give us that thumbs up on Facebook, on YouTube. And if you're watching on YouTube and you haven't subscribed yet, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. We appreciate it as always. More conversations like today throughout the week. Buck Rising will be live tonight, A to Z Sports Primetime, live from Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl. So we'll see what Buck has to say from Mobile tonight on Primetime at 8 p.m. Central. Thanks for watching, guys. Talk to you tomorrow on a Wednesday. Appreciate it as always.
Adios.